Hey, Christ Point, thanks so much for joining us this morning or this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're watching this at home. As we begin our time together, I want to pray for you and ask God to do great things in and through you. So would you pray with me? Father God, thanks so much for your grace and for your goodness to us. Thank you for your living and active word. We're grateful that you still use it today to form and shape your people. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be a teacher and guide to us right now. I pray wherever folks find themselves, Lord, that you would meet with them in a significant and gracious way. God, we love you and we expect great things from you. We ask that you would move and act for your name's sake. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Well, I have to admit to you that I am on a quest for joy. I'm on a quest for joy. I make decisions on a daily basis in pursuit of what brings me joy and happiness. And it just happens that this last week, I celebrated a day that was devoted all to me. That's right. This last week, it was my birthday. And I typically don't like to advertise it other than right now telling you and the world that it was my birthday last week. And I love my birthday because Melissa typically will ask me the day before or the week before, James, what do you want to do for your birthday? This is an open-ended question. She, in essence, is handing me a blank slate, a blank canvas, and saying, James, you can fill it any way that you want. I love when she asked me that question. And so I made a decision early on that I was going to do the things that brought me joy. I was going to do the things that I love. And so I woke up early, April the 28th. I got in my car and I drove to OMG Donuts because I firmly believe in buying local. I love OMG Donuts. They produce the greatest donut on the planet, the maple bacon donut. And I got to tell you, when I was driving there that morning, I was so excited because I was going to partake in a wonderful donut or two, and I was going to enjoy every minute of it. My joy was rising as I drove there until I got there and I parked. I got out of my vehicle and I looked up, and there were no lights on at OMG Donuts. There was a sign on the door expressing to the customer that because of their love for me and for us, they were closed. I have to tell you, it didn't feel loving in the moment. I got back in my car. My joy had been sapped, and I started driving home, but I heard my phone buzz, and I picked it up, and I looked, and my friend Phil had sent me a picture of a box of Krispy Kreme donuts that he had placed on my doorstep. He told me they were warm, and they were for me. I have to tell you, when I got his text, my joy rose once again. I came home, and I enjoyed a number of those donuts. I won't tell you the number, but after eating the donuts, I realized that I needed to work out and exercise. I actually enjoy doing that. It's a good break for me. And so I lassoed my two boys in and we worked out together. And I thought, man, this is great. I want to do this every year. I love this. When I do this, I experience joy. And I came home and I realized after exercising, I was a little hungry, and so I took the family into my vehicle, and we drove to Tacos for Life. Tacos for Life. You eat a taco, they give a taco. I mean, that is a great thing, and I thought there is nothing better on your birthday than to experience the joy of eating a taco, and so that's what we did. I took out lawn chairs from my vehicle, and I placed them in the grassy area in between Tacos for Life and the busy road. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that, but we did it because it was my birthday, and that's what I wanted to do. We got home, and I realized that I had had a lot of chips and queso, and I'm getting to the age where I cannot eat all the chips and queso that I want, and so I thought we should take a family walk, and so that's what we did. We got back into the vehicle, and we drove to our favorite park, and we went for a walk. It was so much fun enjoying the beautiful scenery and seeing the trees and the water. We came back home and it struck me, I just exercised again. and it made me hungry. And so I told Melissa, Melissa, I would like to eat. And sure enough, she made for me the most beautiful, scrumptious Midwestern meal, meat and potatoes. I loved every minute of it. She baked me a cake. I got to eat my favorite cake. My children gave me presents. It was a day devoted to me and my joy. Nothing could top it. I loved that day. And I started thinking, you know, I live a lot of my days doing the very same thing. I live life on a quest for my own personal joy. And I suspect that you do too. Oftentimes, we make decisions based on some measure or experience of joy. We say yes to things or no to things. We go to places or don't go to places. We accept jobs or leave jobs or pursue relationships or leave relationships because we are on a pursuit of joy. We as a people want to rejoice. It reminds me of the words of the philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal when he wrote, "All men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. This is the motive of every action of man." We are pursuers of joy. We have been birthed and created with a longing to rejoice. And so this morning, I want to call you to experience joy. I want to call you to rejoice. But I want to call you to rejoice in a particular person. I want to call you to rejoice in the Lord and in the works of the Lord. This is the call from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes to the church at Philippi and says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." I love that Paul says, "Finally, my brothers," because he's only halfway through the book. That's like the old pastor trick when you're like, "And in conclusion," and then you talk for another 20 minutes. That's what Paul is doing here. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." So he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord." I must admit when I read that, that sounds very Christian. It sounds very Christian. It sounds biblical, of course, because it's in the Bible, but it's one of those sayings or ideas that sometimes we might say or that we might throw out or that we might hear, and I don't know if we always have a good definition of what that actually means. And so this morning, I want us to give some definition to that concept or idea of rejoicing in the Lord. A number of years ago, my children began approaching me thinking that I was dictionary.com. They would say, "Dad, what does this word mean?" Maybe they read a book or were looking at their homework, and they came across a word or an idea that they didn't understand. And so they came to me and said, "Explain it to me." And at first, I must admit that I felt humbled and honored that they would think me wise enough to actually ask me the definition of a word or to give definition to a concept. And I must admit, I kind of stuck up my chest a little bit, and I thought pretty proud of myself because they were coming to me saying, "Hey, help me understand what this means." But as they've gotten a little older, they've continued to come to me asking me to define particular words. And I must admit, there are times when they'll throw out a word that I've heard. They'll mention a word that I've even used in conversation. But when I am forced to bring definition or explain what that word or concept actually means, I find myself saying things like, well, it's kind of like, or it's sort of, and I end up throwing out a definition, scratching my head going, "I don't know if that's right or not." And sometimes I think we do that with the Bible. We try to bring definition to these words and to these ideas when when maybe if we're being honest, we don't know exactly what they do mean, and words and definition is important. And so I want us to think together about what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in defining a word or an idea, it helps me to define it by defining what it's not. And so this morning, this afternoon, this evening, I want to talk about what Scripture doesn't mean when it talks about rejoicing in the Lord. The first thing that we know from God's Word is that rejoicing in the Lord is not dependent upon our circumstances. Rejoicing in the Lord is not dependent upon our circumstances. I don't know about you, but it seems easy or easier for me to rejoice in the Lord when everything goes my way. When life plays out the way that I want it to, when things fall in line, when the things that I want to have happen actually happen, it's easy for me in the mountaintop experiences of the Christian life to rejoice in the Lord. Unfortunately, there are many times in scriptures where we still read this call to rejoice in the Lord when the person calling us to rejoice finds himself not on the mountaintop, but in the valley. I think of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, that reads, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Habakkuk says there are times in life clearly where things do not play out the way that we want them to. He paints this picture or this illustration of a lack of food or produce, the very necessary things in life that are not accessible. Can you imagine a scenario or a situation where that would be the case? I don't think it is so far-fetched for us to imagine that there might be a scenario when we cannot access the things that are necessary for our lives, the things that we enjoy and the things that we need. And yet, Habakkuk 3 says, "Yet despite this, I will rejoice in the Lord." Scripture reminds us time and time again that there will be times in life that are difficult, that are hard, where life seems very uncertain, and yet there is still this call to rejoice. I think of the words from John chapter 16, verse 33, that says, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Paul himself in Philippians is writing from prison. Paul was arrested, he was beaten, he was thrown into prison. He finds himself not on a mountaintop, but in a valley. And yet he calls the church to rejoice in the Lord. And so rejoicing in the Lord is not always connected to our circumstances. Also, it's important to note that rejoicing in the Lord does not mean that we're oblivious or we're naive to reality. Right? Christians live with an awareness that the world around us is hardwired not to work. And as a result of that, we experience situations and circumstances in life that are incredibly difficult. They're pressing, they're hard. We feel broken and pressed. And it is naive or even foolish to not acknowledge that. There are times in the Christian life where it's wholly appropriate to say the situation or circumstance I am in, this experience that I am in the midst of, stinks. Right? It's hard and it's difficult. And I think it's naive or a little foolish for us sometimes to not acknowledge that the circumstances we're in is actually very difficult. After we finish up the book of Philippians, we're going to be in a series about lament in Scripture, times when the author of Scripture cries out to God because they've experienced some grief or hardship. And one of the things that we're going to find is that it is appropriate at times to acknowledge that we live in a fallen and a broken world, a world that is hardwired not to work. And it's okay for us to go, this is difficult. This is hard, this depression or this anxiety or this job loss or this sickness or this chronic pain, whatever it is that you might be experiencing in this moment. Rejoicing in the Lord does not mean that we are oblivious to the fallen and broken world around us. It does not mean that. So if rejoicing in the Lord is not always connected to our circumstances, if rejoicing in the Lord means that we're not oblivious or naive to the world around us, well, what does it mean? What does it look like? Well, one of the ways that we can bring definition to words or ideas in Scripture is by looking at other places in Scripture to help define the concept or the idea. This same idea of rejoicing in the Lord or experiencing joy in the Lord is used 16 times in the book of Philippians alone. Just imagine that. There's four chapters. And so Paul, all throughout this book, is talking about rejoicing in the Lord or experiencing joy. And so I just want you to stop for a moment and think about all of the times that Paul talks about this idea of finding joy in the Lord or experiencing joy. Just listen to some of the times that Paul talks about this idea and consider how it is used. Paul talks about experiencing joy as he experiences partnership in ministry. So Paul looks at those around him, his brothers and sisters, who are moving forward in the gospel ministry, in the gospel work, and he's saying that I experience joy as I consider them. He talks about experiencing joy in Christ being preached, experiencing the joy of faith, experiencing joy when he looks at the church and sees unity amongst brothers and sisters. He talks about the joy of seeing God's people grow. He talks about the joy that he experiences from brothers and sisters whom he knows and loves. And then he talks about God himself being the source of joy or experiencing joy in God himself. And so as we bring definition to this idea, we see two concepts just in the book of Philippians alone. We see that rejoicing in the Lord on one hand means actually rejoicing in the Lord, in God himself, the triune God. We delight in him. And then secondly, we as a people rejoice in the works of the Lord as we see God move and act. And so let's think together about those two ideas. The first, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in God himself. To rejoice in God, you must know God. You must know God. If you don't know God, you can't rejoice in God. If you don't know the Lord, you can't rejoice in the Lord. If I were to tell you today, rejoice in Bob, you would go, who is Bob? And why am I going to rejoice in him? That seems foolish to me. Right? That's so obnoxious. You'd be like, I'm not going to do that. I don't know that man. Well, the same is true with the Lord. We don't rejoice in someone we don't know. I was thinking just this week about, I heard someone doing a devotional on Facebook, and they were talking about an old Doors song from the 60s, the song, Hello, I Love You. And I'm not going to sing it. I'll spare you. But you know the song from the Doors, Hello, I Love You? You know, Hello, I Love You, Won't You Tell Me Your Name? Did you ever think about those words before? Like, hello, I love you. Like, won't you tell me your name? That's dumb, right? That's dumb. Like, how can you express a love for someone whom you do not know, right? That sounds so crazy. Well, the same is true in our relationship with God. We cannot rejoice or find joy in someone if we do not know him. Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus,
my Lord. The God of the universe has revealed himself to you and to me. The God who made you and knows you and loves you can be known. You will never know everything about him. God is inexhaustible. But you will never know everything about him, but you can know him in part. I'm reminded of the words that my uncle spoke at my grandfather's funeral when he said that my grandpa Don spent his life growing to know God, and he will spend all of eternity growing to know him more. This is the joy that we experience as believers, that God can be known. And so we pursue a relationship with God. We open up his word and we say, God, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. I want to see you in the pages of scripture. I want to know your character. I want to see how you operate. God, I want to know you. And so open my eyes and help me to see. God can be known. He can be known in the mundane of life and in the majestic. So when Paul says rejoice in the Lord, he means rejoice in the person of God. Rejoice in the triune God. He has revealed himself to you and to me. And so rejoice. Rejoice in God and rejoice in the works of God. As you see God move and act, rejoice in the work that he has done. That's what Paul does in Philippians. He sees how God is working in the church, how he's growing people's hearts and affections and desires for God, and he rejoices in that work. When he sees brothers and sisters doing the work of ministry, he rejoices. When he sees people growing in faith, he rejoices. When he sees unity in the church, he rejoices. And all of those things are connected to the work of God. And so rejoice in God and rejoice in the work of God. When you see God move and act in creation and in the world, rejoice in him. I was reminded of this this last week. For the last couple of months, I have been experiencing back pain because I had a mental lapse where I thought I was more athletic than I really was. I thought I was stronger than I really was. And I was lifting weights and I tweaked something in my, like in my shoulder, in my back, and it was bothering me for the longest time. And I was whining about it for a while. And I think everyone kind of got tired of it. And so people started giving me recommendations of people to go see. And I got a recommendation for the sports medicine guy in Cornelius. And I finally gave in. I'm like, I'm okay. I'll stop whining. I'll go and I'll see if he can help me. And I walked into his office the first time I went and I looked on his wall and there is this picture of the muscular structure of the human body. And every time I go in there, I look at it and I see all of these muscles that I didn't even know I had. And maybe I don't, but there's names that I've never heard before. I can't pronounce them to you, but I mean, it is unbelievable. And every time I would walk in the office, I just would look at this poster as I waited for the doctor to come in, and I was blown away. And then this last week, I was laying on my side on the table, and the doctor came in, and he was doing acupuncture on me. And so he took a needle that was like, it was like this big in my mind. And he stuck it, maybe not like this, but he stuck it in my back. And when he did, it started to vibrate. Like you could see, I could feel like the muscles twinging in my back. And when he did that, I smiled and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I didn't smile because it felt good. It was really weird to describe, but I smiled because I was, and this is going to sound weird, but like I just was blown away by how God has created the human body to function the way it does. And I look at this poster of our insides, like the muscles that help hold us together. And when they are functioning the way they're supposed to. It allows us to run and to jump and to play and to lift and to push and to pull. And it was a moment of worship for me. I told Melissa a couple days ago, I said, there are certain things that when you see them in life, you cannot unsee them. And that was one of those moments in life where I'm just going, God, you are amazing to dream up the human body. I've had that same experience before when I've been to the ocean and I dip my toes in the water, or I climb a mountain and I look at the vastness of what God has created and I am blown away by his goodness. I'm blown away by the works of God. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in God himself, and rejoice in the good works that God has done. If God gives you eyes to see, they are all over. Rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul writes, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. I love how oftentimes Paul repeated himself. Sometimes when I was a little kid and my mom would repeat herself, she would ask a question again and again and again. And I remember as a little kid, it would frustrate me. And she would kind of jokingly say to us, she would say, James, I'm going to ask you as many times as I want to ask you. I'm going to remind you as many times as I want to remind you. And I read this from Paul, and he says, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me. It's not, like, I will tell you this again and again and again and again. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, we're always looking for something that is new. Like, we want a new word, like, we want a new idea, we want a new teaching, like, give me something new. But I think so much of the Christian life is us just being reminded of what we already know. Time and time again in Scripture, there's this call to remember. And so even in Paul's writings, even in this book, we're gonna see over and over and over again, Paul's gonna say things that he's already said. He may say them a little differently, he may say them a little uniquely, but he is going to say the same thing again and again and again. And so he writes to the church and he says, listen, it's not a big deal for me to tell you rejoice in the Lord. You need to hear it again and again and again, and I need to hear it again and again and again. He says, it is no trouble for me, and it is safe for you. It's good for you. This is a good, it is a safe reminder. We are pursuers of joy. We rejoice in a whole lot of things in life that maybe at times we should not be so consumed by, or that maybe we should not rejoice in. But this, rejoicing in the Lord, it is safe to rejoice in God and in the works of God. So rejoice in the Lord. One of the cool things that our family does whenever it's someone's birthday is we have this tradition of kind of going in a circle, gathering around a table or sitting on the couch, and we will honor that person by saying, I love you because, and then we'll just shower them with praise. Melissa's family has done this for as long as I can remember, and we've kind of adopted that practice in our family. You know, I was thinking this last week as my family was speaking words of hope and courage and life into me as they were honoring me with the things they said. I couldn't help but think, you know, in a lot of ways, rejoicing is doing that. It's saying, God, I love you because, and rejoicing in who God is. And so I was thinking maybe this week you could sneak away for a few minutes. I know sometimes that's hard to do, but hide in your house somewhere or go for a walk and spend time just rejoicing in the Lord. And maybe you can do it in this way. Just simply say, God, I love you because. Like, I love you because. And then fill it in. And acknowledge the goodness of God and his character, and acknowledge the beauty of his work. At Christ Point, rejoice in the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, we rejoice in you. We love you and we honor your name. Lord, we rejoice in you for your character, for who you are. We rejoice in you for your grace and for your mercy, for your steadfast love and faithfulness. We rejoice in you for your holiness and your goodness. And God, we rejoice in you for your good works, your works that reveal who you are and point us to you. We celebrate those works today. We rejoice in your work in salvation and calling us to yourself. We rejoice in your creation, the beauty of the world around us. We rejoice in your sustenance, your ability to provide for us what we stand in need of each and every moment of every day. Lord, we love you and we rejoice in you. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Christ Point, want to remind you that we have the great joy and privilege of partnering with Mission City Church in Charlotte this next week to provide much needed food and resources for their community. There is a list of groceries, of food that you can bring. We're inviting the church family to stop those off, drop those off at an address that will be provided for you in Christ Point News. If you need that address, you can send an email to info@christpoint.com. The time to drop off those goods, that food, is going to be this coming up Saturday, which is May 9th. From 10 in the morning until noon. So 10 to 12, you can drop them off. It's actually going to be our home, and we will gather all of that and then bring it to Mission City Church on Sunday. And so it's just a real practical way that we can partner with a local church body and we can be a part of what God is doing in our community. If you heard this message today, I want to encourage you to like it, to interact with it, to respond, to talk about it, to send notes on Facebook or YouTube, and then also to subscribe to the Christ Point channel. It's one of the ways that we can continue to further the message. I was just talking with a friend recently this past week, just saying one of the things that I want to encourage us to do is a church body, is to be able to interact with the message whenever you're listening to it on Sunday morning or later. Oftentimes, I'll be spending time online. I don't like to see my mug up there, and so I'll try to respond when people write notes, whether it be on Facebook or YouTube. And so comment on it, interact. If you need prayer, I want to encourage you to send an email to prayer@christpoint.com. We want to be praying for you during this time. Thanks so much for tuning in today. God bless. We'll see you next week.